Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 142. Mark Tattison, you are running for city councilor in Ward 15. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Joey. Well, my name is Mark Tattison. I was born and raised here in Glenbrook. I'm a father and a husband. I have a wonderful family. I grew up here. I attended elementary school here, going to Hannon School, Bellstone School, Mount Hope School. I attended high school in Stony Creek. I've played youth sports here in Glenbrook. I coached here as an adult. I continue to live with my wife and family on the same road that I grew up on. Always considered Glenbrook my home. Professionally, I was a teacher, a vice principal, and principal for over 30 years with Halton First and Hamilton. I've worked in Dundas, Flamborough, Central and East Hamilton, as well as on the mountain. I have a good sense of the communities that make up Hamilton. I'm currently retired and looking forward to spending more time in my home community.
Why are you running?
The importance of community service is something that has been instilled in me since I was very young. My mother was a volunteer in my schools and various organizations in the area, and my father was a coach and counselor in Glenbrook when I was young. It's been part of my life since, as a volunteer, as a teacher, and a principal. As an educator, I spent a career building school communities around the city, and now I want to give time and effort back to my home community.
Do you live in Ward 11, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
I suppose it depends on the individual involved. If a person is sincere and caring and willing to listen to those they represent, then I think they could do a good job. But I think it's only a positive if you come from where you represent. Having a long-time connection to fellow residents is important. And having an understanding of how diverse the needs of such a great community are and how these have changed and not changed over time gives one a good perspective when you are working out solutions.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
Well, Joey, sports have always been my vehicle. As I said before, I've played and helped organize recreational sports here as an adult. I've worked with our minor hockey and junior hockey teams as a co-coach and assistant. I was a founding team rep of the Glenbrook Slow Pitch League many, many years ago. In terms of my contributions to our city, again, I was a vice principal and principal in Hamilton in many different communities for over 18 years. Most staff, students, and parents in my schools will tell you that I have a strong sense of duty and commitment to my school community. Wherever I have worked, I've always tried my best to create a learning environment where children and families felt welcomed, safe, and valued. I've served with the hope of leaving each school a better place than I found it. I always saw my job as supporting others in any way I could. I've always pitched to help in others to complete their work. I ran intramurals, I did fundraisers, I've coordinated celebrations and special events with all my staff for the kids and families at our schools. I always knew that if children were excited and enjoyed coming to school, that they would learn better if we had welcoming relationships with our parents, and then parents would feel more secure in trusting us with their children.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 11 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
As I said before, I want to serve the citizens of Glenbrook first, helping them negotiate issues with the city on an everyday basis. That's job one. In terms of a platform, keeping taxes low and area rating. Citizens should not pay for services they don't receive. And most importantly, we need to re-energize and restart the planning process for a new community center with an indoor pool, multi-use gymnasium, and community rooms. All this can happen on city-owned land behind the existing arena. And hopefully we can get the services out there and construct this new community center and keep the current arena still operating. My two priorities for the city are, first, I will support the Clean and Green program. I'll support the city's plan to meet its carbon reduction goals and prepare for climate emergencies. I'll also encourage industries that support a greener economy to take up residence in our industrial land. Our community energy and emissions plan will foster an economy that provides employment and supports movement towards a greener and carbon-neutral economy. I support the LIRT, retrofitting homes, hydrogen hub, and other city initiatives that help the environment and create jobs. I believe this is our best bet for a prosperous city now and in the future. I also support the Climate Change Impact Adaptation Plan. This will help prepare us for conditions such as extreme heat, severe floods, blizzards, ice storms, and changing lake levels. This plan requires a counselor who sees these climate threats as serious. I'll back the city's efforts to proactively prepare for climate emergencies.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 11 on Hamilton City Council?
Thanks for the question, Joey. One of the first skills that I'll bring to it is persistent. I'm a relentless problem solver. I'm always looking for the best way forward. I will listen and probe others. I will read reports with a critical eye. I keep taking information and reflecting, and I keep at things until I believe we have the best workable plan possible for what we know at the time. I'm reflective and I'm flexible. I reflect on what I hear. I try to listen with empathy for the message being sent. I'm open to criticism. I don't take things personally, but I do take them seriously. If better ideas come forward and they make for better results, I can move with those ideas. I'm also a social people person. I really enjoy working with and helping people, dialoguing with them and listening to their ideas, debating the best plans to move us forward. And I'm flexible. If better ideas come forward and they make for better results, I can move with those ideas. So those are three skills that I think make me qualified to be an elective official for Glanbrook.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councilors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up before three of the new councilors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Thanks, Joey. I think personal human resource issues should be confidential. That is, anything that might name a person. The counsel of the privacy officer is something that would need to be sought on an ongoing basis, especially for a new member of council like myself. In terms of what should not be divulged, I think we have learned that it is better to admit mistakes and seek solutions with our fellow community members and experts within our own staff, as well as those with other agencies, than to try and hide these mistakes from people who, in the end, will most be impacted by them. In my professional career, I've never subscribed to CYA, cover your arse when mistakes are made. I believe it's best to be honest, accept responsibility, apologize, learn, and make better decisions in the future. I've tried to do that all my life. If transparency helps the city prioritize and address an issue, then I'm for it. If transparency promotes the development of proactive and preventative policies that ensure better daily operations so that problems don't happen again and in other places with similar variables, then I'm for it. But I think at times outright transparency needs to be balanced with other factors. If information is unclear, sharing incomplete, inaccurate information can sometimes be worse than not sharing information at all. If there are legal and liability issues involved, I defer to our legal department and expertise in such matters. Also, in terms of city initiatives and negotiations, if untimely sharing of information could jeopardize positive outcome for the city, I would be supportive of delaying the release of information.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall that silenced good people are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
Thanks, Joey. At this point, my knowledge is limited to what I've read in the paper. So I would like to read the report individually and then collaborate with others who have the opportunity to put those changes needed in place. We need to come to an agreement on what needs to be done now and in the near future, and also, just as importantly, what needs to be put in place so this type of situation does not occur again, both within individual departments and as a governing body as a whole. We need to show transparency in our processes in order to build back trust of the community, but also of staff who work for the community so that they are not fearful or feeling intimidated and so that they can take pride in the great services that they themselves do for our community.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
Well, that's a tough one. I believe there are going to be some challenging times coming for those directly on this route. This is unfortunate, but it happens. Hopefully, city staff have plans to mitigate some of those difficulties that will allow residents to safely access and businesses to viably stay open during construction. At this time, I don't have enough understanding about the process to comment more.
Ward 11 is a unique ward in Hamilton. That's why I'm going to break from tradition and ask you to share two unique and interesting things within the ward that you think the rest of Hamilton should know about.
We have some unique features like the Bimbrick Conservation Area that encompasses Lake Niopenco, where you can go to the beach or do treetop trekking. That's a zipline course. We also have the Bimbrick Fair every September with the Midway and the Smash Up Derby, which is always a thrilling crowd pleaser.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. Ward 11 has experienced significant population growth. The growth has been in a built form that requires the use of personal automobiles to access many services as well as jobs. Responding and improving to the unique built forms of Mount Hope, Bimbrook, and Glanbrook, while supporting agriculture and ensuring employment at the airport, makes Ward 11 a complex ward to lead. Growth is going to continue. Your job as councillor is to manage it to achieve optimal outcomes within the constraints of Ontario's de facto planning law, the provincial policy statement. There are three questions on this topic. Decades ago, the region of Hamilton Wentworth struck a deal with developers to have them fund sewage services to the Glanbrook landfill in exchange for permissions to develop what is Bimbrook today. There are growing demands for services in the community of Bimbrook, but for many of those services, the population falls just short. This means, at present, people must travel by automobile to shops and services. Students must travel by school bus to school, etc. What are your planning goals for Bimbrook during the coming term of council, and how will you achieve them?
Well, in terms of Bimbrook directly, I think many of the amenities that we need in Bimbrook are already there. But one area where there is a deficit is our recreation center. I want to see a fully revised, accessible community center built for the people of Glanbrook with an indoor pool, multi-use gymnasium, and community rooms. I think this new build could be completed and still keep the old arena running. And you know what? Why not swing for the fences and float the idea to include a new arena with a walking track as well in the new build? Our current arena is approaching 50 years in age and has had multiple upgrades. But by the time the new complex could be completed, it could be 8 to 10 years down the road and the old arena may be ready for decommissioning.
Mount Hope is experiencing similar challenges resulting from growth and along Highway 6, the challenges of sprawl, which has increased traffic in recent years. The airport is growing both its passenger and cargo operations. What are your planning goals for Mount Hope and surrounding communities during the coming term of council, and how will you achieve them?
So I'm looking at, is there a need or desire for more commercial development such as a grocery store and other amenities in Mount Hope, similar to what Bimbrook has with the plaza anchored by Freshco? At this point, I don't have those answers. I enjoy the small town charm of Homestead Drive in Mount Hope, and its library, post office, small shops, restaurants, local garage, and fire station. I would need to hear from the people if it's something that they want to change.
The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated citywide residential zoning bylaws. The primary effect of this in Ward 11 is updating local regulations regarding secondary dwelling units. Ontario's planning law permits SDUs as of right. As ward councillor, at times you have to balance the requirements of the provincial policy statement with local opposition to planning proposals. What is your planning philosophy, and how will you handle contentious files which we know will be approved by the Ontario Land Tribunal if City Council opposes them?
My initial planning philosophy is to build up, not out, and increase density. No urban expansion at this time. So zoning bylaws are supposed to promote public health, safety, convenience, and general welfare. These bylaws are there for a reason. I don't see secondary dwelling units as a big issue for people in Glanbrook. As long as updated zoning bylaws continue to support these goals for our community and consider other factors that come with increasing density so they can be managed in a way that doesn't create issues around parking, safe access, and quality of life. I can see people wanting an SDU as a source of income or to support elderly parents or as a place for an adult child looking for privacy. Contentious files will continue to go to the Committee of Adjustment for discussion, and decisions are made at that level. People will need to follow the rules or ask for a variance. If I think we can collect information through public input, do some research, and look at what works well in other directions with SDUs, I think we can come up with a Hamilton Ward 11 specific policy that works.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 11. As an example, there have been numerous serious injury and fatal collisions along Upper James within the ward. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan and how you will respond to opposition to changes.
A long-time concern involves the major roads that serve the conduits to our villages from the city. The entire stretch of Upper James from Rymal Road to Airport, the Aero Park, and more businesses and churches are now there. In my opinion, we need to conduct a traffic needs assessment to see if improvements are warranted that can reduce risks for motorists as they travel on these corridors. This would let us know if things such as areas with a center lane for left-hand turning are needed, or a third lane for slowing down to the right into popular businesses. Also, we could coordinate with the MTO and conduct an assessment at looking at the need for censored stoplights by Haldebrook Road and Highway 6 south to Caledonia. This might improve access for other intersections like Chippewa and Leeming Road. It's a challenge to turn left onto Highway 6 south from these roads when the flow of traffic is continuous in both directions. In terms of other major roads, I think the most salient issue now is regarding the new commercial properties with the donut shop and gas station at Airport Road and Upper James. I think the city needs to review the current configuration looking to safely accommodate the stop-and-go traffic that this commercial development brings to the area. Whether that involves another acceleration lane or intersection changes or improvements will need to be determined. I'd also like to initiate a traffic needs assessment on Highway 56 to determine if road improvements are required due to the population growth of Bimbrook. This will help to answer questions about the need for turning lanes, bike lanes, shoulder enhancements, sidewalks, and safety barriers from the north side of Bimbrook through to Elfrida. Rural roads that once only served rural populations and were lightly traveled are now very busy and present challenges for walking and cycling. As a councillor, I'd work with city to assess the need for safe walkable shoulders and bike lanes where possible that are safely clear of traffic for cyclists and pedestrians. Also, we need to continue to ensure stop signs are visible at all times. I would also try to use my discretionary budget to have solar-powered speed alert signs stationed throughout rural Glanbrook roads that instantly display the speed of approaching vehicles to remind drivers to follow the posted limits. I would encourage active enforcement of speed limits by police on a regular basis. Concerning in-town residential roads, I would also work with the city staff to continue and push forward any current road safety studies in Glanbrook involving speed limits, intersections, traffic circles, and school zones inside these residential neighborhoods. Wherever there's significant pedestrian volume and crosswalks, I would like maybe crosswalks to have user-initiated flashing signals. This could help reduce risks for pedestrians.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I get that. Lots of this is new to me, and it's a lot to digest for sure. But my strategy that's been successful in the past, it's simple for me, is to read, 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 ask questions, ask more questions, listen, listen, and listen, and communicate, and then reflect, and write it down and put it out there for scrutiny. It'll be a process of continuous learning and problem solving and reviewing solutions. I will read the papers. I will read professional reviews. I seek out scientific research. I also think everyone can learn from the experience of those who have gone before. I'll reach out to the residents of Glanbrook, my fellow counselors, former counselors, office staff, and city staff where expertise resides, as well as provincial and federal representatives to collect the necessary information so that I can make sound decisions that support the overall desires of my constituents and the larger goals of the city.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city service?
COVID has highlighted that connectivity is now an equity issue for many rural communities. I'll work with city staff to see if we can find affordable alternatives to how our city can best serve the high-speed internet needs of those who reside and work in our rural areas. In listening to some experts, I also see that there might be some room for improvement in our transit system regarding service accessibility for individuals with mobility challenges. I think there's research out there that suggests that the logistics of our current system could be improved for these riders, and those improvements could be provided in a more economical way. I don't know enough about it yet, but I'd like to dig deeper into that discussion and over time make it a reality for our citizens with these accessibility challenges.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Well, for me, poverty, hunger, mental health, and well-being issues can take tolls on families in Hamilton. I think there are excellent family services available in the city right now for families that, in my opinion, might be underutilized by the public. I'd like to look at the data to see if that's true, and if so, I'd like to push to get these services to the forefront of public awareness. I think a second way that we can really improve life in Hamilton is fully supporting the BLAST and light rail transit projects. Those are very close to my heart, and I see an overall impact citywide for that.
It's 2026. The Public Record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we'll use to describe your term on council, and what three words do you hope we will use to describe council as a whole?
Thanks for the question, Joey. For myself, thoughtful, caring, helpful. For council, transparent, collaborative, and productive.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Joey, thanks for your time. In closing, I just want the residents of Glanbrook to know that their concerns are my concerns, and I'll work hard to support their needs now and, with a citywide perspective, help to better prepare us for the future. I do believe that a vibrant and flourishing Hamilton will make for a better Glanbrook.
Thank you again for joining us. Before we leave, how do people find out more about you and get in touch?
They can go to www.tattisonforglanbrook.ca.
Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Joey.
This has been episode 142 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.